Welcome to the EQ Fit Podcast. Our mission is to equip people to prosper in every aspect of their life. Whether you're at home or in the workplace, we explore practical ways of improving success, satisfaction, finding balance, and building enjoyable and beneficial relationships. Thank you for joining us.
Have you ever been like a really busy manager staring at your inbox, just absolutely agonizing over why decisions that used to take maybe 20 minutes are suddenly requiring, you know, three painful rounds of emails?
Oh, yeah. That is the worst feeling.
Right. Or perhaps you're looking at your team, a group you know is incredibly talented, but everything just feels so sluggish. You introduce a new initiative, and instead of taking off, it just sits in someone's queue for a month.
And you're left wondering, like, have people lost their drive?
Yeah.
Or is my strategy suddenly failing?
Exactly. And today, we are going deep on why high-functioning teams suddenly slow down, and more importantly, how you can actually fix it. Welcome to the Deep Dive.
Glad to be here.
We've got an incredibly practical source today. It's a brilliant blog post from EQ Fit. And just to make sure you can find it later, the company is spelled EQFIT, but you pronounce it EQ Fit.
Right. EQ Fit.
The post is by Steve Goodner, and it's titled, Trust is the Soil. Our mission today is to give you a very specific toolkit. We're going to balance the hard neuroscience of team dynamics with some incredibly simple weekly habits you can use to audit and rebuild your organizational health.
Because to solve the problem of a stalled team, you first have to correctly diagnose the symptoms.
Right.
And the trickiest part about diagnosing this particular issue is that the symptoms often look like, well, like, everything is completely fine.
Mm-hmm.
The business isn't on fire. The metrics might even be totally stable. When you hit that wall of operational friction, your first instinct is usually to look at the hard metrics. You check the quarterly goals, you analyze the talent pool, you wonder if you need new project management software.
You assume it's a mechanical flaw.
Exactly. You assume it's the machine.
We should frame this with a story from the source because it perfectly captures that eerie feeling of a company that is doing well but slowing down. Goodner talks about a woman named Mira. She runs a 48-person specialty insurance brokerage just outside of Indianapolis.
And by all traditional accounts, she is completely crushing it.
Totally. The company has grown steadily through word-of-mouth referrals. Her leadership team has been together for 6 solid years. I mean, her client retention is so impressive that other agency owners in the area literally ask her out to coffee just to try and discover her secret.
Yeah, on paper, Mira is managing a thriving ecosystem. She employs 2 of the highest paid producers in her entire region.
Right.
But she sits down with Goodner on a Tuesday morning because she's realized something deeply unsettling about her company. The machine is still moving forward, but she says the fuel has thinned.
The fuel has thinned. That phrasing is so evocative because revenue was holding steady. You know, people were perfectly polite to each other in the hallways. They were hitting their numbers. But those fast, intuitive decisions were now taking those 3 rounds of agonizing emails. And the most glaring symptom of all, her best senior producer had completely stopped pushing back in meetings.
And we really need to pause and examine that specific detail. Because for a leader like Mira, having a senior producer who feels comfortable pushing back and challenging ideas is, well, it's one of the most valuable dynamics you can have in the building.
It pressure tests everything.
Exactly. It pressure tests strategies before they launch. When that healthy friction stops, it is a massive red flag. But it's a silent red flag.
Right. It's not a shouting match. It's not a dramatic resignation. It's just silence. Mm-hmm. And Mira realizes they don't have a strategy problem. And they definitely don't have a talent problem.
She tells Goodner, I think we are still a good company, but I don't think we're a trusting one anymore.
Wow. And that realization leads to the foundational metaphor of this entire analysis, right? Because we've been conditioned to think of trust as a soft skill. We treat it like a nice feeling that just happens to exist when a business is doing well financially.
But trust isn't a soft skill. Trust is the soil.
Okay, I want to make sure we visualize this properly for you. If trust is the soil, what are the plants?
Everything else in your business, like your strategy, your hiring process, your company culture, your sales techniques, those are all plants.
Mm-hmm.
And they're entirely dependent on the nutrients in the ground beneath them.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy the most expensive seeds on the market. You can recruit a world-class executive. But if you drop that genius hire into low-trust soil, they simply will not take root.
While an ordinary, like, average hire dropped into rich, highly trusting soil will actually outproduce that isolated genius within a matter of a few years.
Precisely. Because when the soil thins out, plants don't just die immediately. They adapt to their environment. To conserve energy, they put down fewer roots.
And in a business context, putting down fewer roots translates directly into the behaviors Mira was experiencing.
Yep. People start making smaller bets.
Yeah.
They slow down their decision-making.
Yeah.
And they completely abandon honest pushback.
Let me try an analogy to capture what is happening mechanically here. It's like checking the dashboard of your car, right? The oil light is off, the engine temp is fine, but the car is just struggling to get up the hill. Or imagine you're an elite runner trying to sprint a 100-meter dash, but instead of a track, you're sprinting in knee-deep dry sand.
That's a great way to look at it.
You have the exact same muscle mass, the exact same training. Your technique is flawless, but the environment you are operating in is absorbing all of your energy. Every step requires massive effort just to move a few inches. So if Mira's team is running in sand, what is literally happening to their capacity to do the work?
Well, to answer that, we have to move away from the metaphor of soil or sand and look directly at the hard science of the human nervous system. Trust isn't just corporate poetry, you know, it's biology.
Right.
The source brings in two decades of neuroscience research, specifically highlighting Paul Zak's long-running work on oxytocin and organizational trust. Zak looked at this dynamic across more than 100 different organizations.
And he was looking for a concrete biological picture of what trust actually is, right? Like at the level of one human nervous system experiencing another human nervous system.
Yes, exactly. And he was measuring oxytocin, which is often called the bonding hormone. When we interact with someone we trust, our brain releases oxytocin. And this chemical acts like a neurological switch. It actively downregulates the amygdala.
Wait, the amygdala, that's the threat detection center of the brain, isn't it?
It is. So when your amygdala is quiet, your brain doesn't have to waste precious glucose and processing power trying to figure out if the person across the table is going to throw you under the bus.
Oh, wow. So all of that saved mental energy is freed up for actual collaboration and problem solving.
Exactly. The statistics Zak uncovered are just staggering. Employees in high-trust companies report 74% less stress. They experience 50% higher productivity. They report 76% more engagement and 40% less burnout compared to employees in low-trust companies.
And the variable that makes this research so compelling is that Zak was looking at companies operating in the exact same industries. They were pointing from the exact same talent pools.
Yep, same labor markets. The only difference was the neurological environment. The difference was the soil.
So if we connect this biological reality to a busy manager's ultimate pain point, which is slow decisions, we start to see trust as a literal mechanism of speed. Goodner describes high trust as compressed bandwidth.
Compressed bandwidth, it's a fascinating phrase.
Like a zip file for human interaction?
That's exactly it. When trust is high, you can run your operations with much shorter meetings, need fewer layers of approval. Mm. People move faster because they aren't wasting cognitive energy protecting themselves from their own colleagues.
Right.
Conversely, a low trust company fundamentally feels unsafe, so it has to protect itself. And how do companies protect themselves?
They build defensive architecture. They add more process. They require more forms, more sign-offs, and make sure 10 different people are CC'd on every single email just to cover everyone's tracks.
And they pay the cost of that self-protection in speed. You can have the exact same brilliant strategy, but executed on different soil. It produces wildly different results. Owners constantly blame the execution, but the execution is completely downstream of the soil.
Wait, so as a manager, adding a new approval process isn't always a sign of corporate maturity. Sometimes it's actually just a symptom of a trust leak.
Yes, that is a profound paradigm shift for most managers. If you suddenly need three managers to sign off on a basic $50 client refund, that is not an organization maturing. That is an organization broadcasting that the floor of trust has cracked.
It is almost uncomfortable to realize that what we call robust systems might just be symptoms of thinning soil.
Definitely. And if trust dictates the literal operational speed of a business, we can't afford to treat it vaguely. We can't just tell our teams to, you know, be more trusting. We have to define the specific ingredients of trust so we can measure it and rebuild it.
Right. And the source breaks trust down into four distinct components. And it notes that almost every leader has highly uneven strengths across these four areas.
So let's unpack the foundation first. Goodner calls the first ingredient reliability. He refers to it as the unglamorous floor of trust.
Completely unglamorous, but entirely non-negotiable. Reliability is simply doing what you said you would do by the time you said you would do it, without someone else having to remind you.
Right. If you lack reliability, nothing else you bring to the table matters. You cannot build a sophisticated organizational culture on a cracked foundation.
And the second ingredient is honesty. But the source makes a very careful distinction here. It's not advocating for brutal honesty.
No, accurate truth-telling is the goal. And this requires an incredibly delicate balance between truth and tact. The author points out a really common leadership trap. Honesty without empathy is just bluntness. It damages the relationship. But empathy without honesty is just niceness.
Oh, I love that distinction, the trap of niceness. We want our teams to like us. We want to be perceived as empathetic leaders. So we default to being nice, which usually means we completely avoid delivering the actual uncomfortable truth.
And niceness starves the soil. To build genuine trust, you must deploy honesty and empathy simultaneously. You have to be willing to say the difficult thing, but you have to deliver it in a way that the other person can actually hear and process without their amygdala treating it as an attack.
Right, without setting off those threat detectors. So the third ingredient is competence. This is the raw ability to actually deliver the goods.
Yeah, because you can be the most reliable and honest person in the building, but if you don't possess the actual skills required to do the job, people will feel personal affection for you, but they will withhold their professional trust.
Competence is the engine.
Exactly. It is the necessary capability that allows your reliability and your honesty to compound over time.
And that brings us to the fourth ingredient, which Goodner identifies as the one nearly every business owner underestimates: care.
Care is probably the most heavily misunderstood ingredient. To be absolutely clear, care does not mean lowering your standards or accepting mediocre work. Care is the lived, consistently demonstrated signal that you view the person across from you as a complex human being, not merely a human resource designed to execute tasks.
The source has a line that really illustrates this. It says, "People do not trust those who agree with them. They trust those who they believe genuinely want them to succeed."
That's powerful. Care is the secret amplifier. It takes reliability, honesty, and competence, and transforms them into a resilient bond that builds up over years, rather than a transactional scorecard that resets to zero every single quarter.
But the terrifying reality about these four ingredients is how easily they deteriorate. Trust rarely collapses in a massive, dramatic explosion. It leaks. It just drains away quietly.
And this is exactly what Mira failed to see coming in her agency. A trust leak happens through micro interactions. It's a missed commitment that everyone in the room just politely ignored.
Or offering a vague corporate speak answer in a meeting when your team desperately needed direct honesty.
Yep. Or an internal promotion that surprises everyone because the criteria for advancement were never clearly communicated. Or, perhaps most commonly, it's a feedback conversation that a manager delays for 3 weeks because it just feels too uncomfortable to initiate.
And none of those scenarios sound like a catastrophic failure in the moment. They just feel like the friction of a busy Tuesday.
They feel minor, but every single one is a withdrawal from the relational trust account. And this is where the evolutionary psychology makes the math incredibly brutal. Relational research demonstrates a profound asymmetry in how human beings process interactions.
The negativity bias.
Exactly. We are hardwired with a negativity bias. Withdrawals from the trust account are registered immediately. Our brains are designed to quickly spot threats or signs of unreliability to keep us safe. But deposits take 3 to 5 positive confirming experiences just to register deeply enough to balance out a single withdrawal.
If it takes up to 5 deposits to fix 1 withdrawal, a manager on autopilot with good intentions is probably running a slow deficit without even knowing it, right?
That is the hidden danger of organizational life. You can believe you're simply maintaining the status quo, but if you're just coasting, you are running a net withdrawal. The soil is thinning out. One slightly vague email and one delayed meeting at a time.
Wow.
Because of that biological asymmetry, by the time the problem actually becomes visible in your day-to-day operations, like your project timelines doubling or your best producer going entirely silent in strategy meetings, that leak has probably been actively draining the soil for over a year.
Okay, so we've diagnosed the leak. We understand the biology of trust. We know its 4 ingredients, and we see how easily it drains away. But Goodner doesn't just leave us with a diagnosis. He outlines a simple weekly routine to audit trust within key relationships.
The brilliance of this routine is its tactical simplicity. You don't need to launch a massive company-wide culture survey. You don't need to hire an expensive consultant to run trustfall exercises at a 3-day offsite retreat.
Thank goodness.
Right. You simply need to execute personal audits and run small, consistent behavioral reps. The first habit in the routine is the 4-ingredient audit.
So how does that work?
The assignment is to pick 3 key relationships that matter most to your success this quarter. It might be a direct report, a crucial client, or a business partner. You sit down and rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 on reliability, honesty, competence, and care for each specific person.
That requires some brutal self-awareness. You are almost certainly going to find that you are strong in 2 areas and weaker in 2 others.
And it's vital to understand that those lower numbers are not moral failures. They are an operational map. They show you the exact coordinates of where the soil is thinning with that specific individual.
Let's apply this audit back to Mira's story. She ran this exact self-assessment regarding her relationship with her senior producer, the one who had stopped pushing back. She realized her reliability was a solid 9. Her honesty was a 9. Her competence was a 10. But her care score had quietly, slowly dropped to a 5.
The trap of the busy manager. It didn't drop because she suddenly stopped caring about him as a human being. It dropped because for 18 months, she had been so intensely laser-focused on running the metrics of the company that she simply stopped signaling care in the specific ways he needed to feel it.
Right. He just became a high-functioning cog in her machine, which perfectly explains his silence in the meetings. Yeah. He wasn't plotting a mutiny. He was displaying a natural root response to thinning soil.
Exactly. So once you run the audit and identify your weak spots, how do you actively make deposits? The source gives us 3 specific weekly habits. Let's look at how to rebuild reliability first. The habit is called the smallest reliability rep.
The smallest reliability rep. Okay.
The goal is to scan your memory for just 1 unclosed loop from the last 30 days and close it this week.
We are talking about incredibly minor tasks here, aren't we?
Extremely minor. This is not about launching a new strategic initiative. This is about finding the text message you read but forgot to answer. It's finally sending over the PDF you mentioned in passing. It's scheduling that 15 minutes of time you promised someone in the hallway 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Reliability is constructed through the compounding interest of these tiny reps over months. Major trust leaks almost always begin with a slow drip of small, unclosed loops.
Okay, the next habit addresses the difficult dynamic we explored earlier regarding the nice versus honest trap. Goodner calls this the honest and caring sentence.
Right. So if there is a conversation you have been actively avoiding because it requires you to be truthful about a difficult subject while remaining empathetic, your weekly assignment is to synthesize what you need to say into a single sentence.
Just 1 sentence.
Yeah, write it down on a piece of paper. Read it twice to yourself to ensure it balances both honesty and care. And then go deliver it to the person this week.
It sounds deceptively simple, but the source notes that leaders are consistently surprised by 2 outcomes when they implement this. First, the actual sentence is almost always far less harsh than the massive confrontation they had built up in their own head.
Oh, totally. We always catastrophize.
Right. And second, initiating that one, clear conversation restores an unbelievable amount of nutrients to the soil.
It restores the soil because it proves 2 things simultaneously. It proves to the other person that you respect them enough to tell them the unvarnished truth, and it proves you care about them enough to look them in the eye and do it directly, rather than talking around them.
That brings us to the final habit in the toolkit, which serves as the direct antidote for Mira's situation. It's called the care signal you have not sent.
This provides a concrete template for delivering specific, highly effective care. You identify 1 person on your team whose recent effort you haven't properly acknowledged. And the rule is that it cannot just be a passing compliment like, hey, thanks for your hard work on this.
Yeah, a generic thanks does not register as a deposit. Goodner provides a very specific formula for a true care signal. You must state the specific action they took. You must explain exactly why that action mattered to the bigger picture of the company. And, this is the linchpin, you must tell them what that specific action says about them as a person.
Connecting the action to their personal identity is where the neurological magic happens.
Mm.
For example, you don't just say, thanks for the report. You say, you stayed late to finish that data analysis. That action gave us the exact numbers we needed to win the client pitch this morning. It shows me you have an incredible sense of ownership and dedication to our team's success.
That's a huge difference.
It is. And Goodner notes that this specific formula takes perhaps 60 seconds to type out and 3 minutes for the recipient to read and absorb.
We always assume fixing team culture requires a massive 3-day offsite retreat, but it turns out it's just taking 60 seconds on a Tuesday to send a highly specific text message, or taking 5 minutes to finally reply to a lingering email.
It's the compounding power of small, deliberate deposits. When Mir started implementing this exact toolkit, sending just one highly specific, unhurried, written care signal each week over the course of the next quarter, it completely revitalized the relationship.
Oh.
By the end of the summer, her senior producer was back to aggressively challenging ideas in strategy meetings. She had successfully restored the soil.
That is a remarkable turnaround. To wrap up this deep dive into organizational health, we have to cement the idea that trust is not a nice to have. It's not an abstract concept to worry about only when revenue is down. Trust is the absolute operational ceiling of your business.
If your soil is thin, the speed and growth of your company are permanently capped.
And we have to acknowledge that sometimes you genuinely need an outside perspective to see where your soil is thinning. When you are standing in the middle of the forest, putting out daily fires, it's incredibly difficult to see the ecosystem.
And that's the entire premise of the EQ Fit Entrepreneur's Edge concept. It's designed to provide leaders with that external map, showing you exactly where your specific trust deposits will yield the highest operational leverage.
Because when the decisions in your business are grinding to a halt and nobody can quite articulate the mechanical reason why, the answer is almost always hiding in the soil.
It is entirely invisible to the naked eye, but it dictates the health of everything you were trying to build.
I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over today. Building directly off of the biological reality that teams adapt to thin soil by holding back and putting down fewer roots. Think about the last time you led a remarkably polite team meeting. You know the exact kind of meeting. You introduced a brand new complex idea and everybody around the table just nodded.
Yep.
Nobody pushed back. Nobody disagreed or found a flaw in the plan. You probably walked out feeling like a genius. But ask yourself, was that silence actually a sign of a perfectly aligned, brilliant team? Or was it the sound of your people quietly pulling up their roots? Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
Thank you for joining us for this episode. If you have any questions about this week's episode, or maybe a suggestion for future episodes you'd like us to explore, please contact us through our website at eqfit.org. For more information and inspiration, connect with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube at eqfit.org.